Welcome to the Infinite Life Podcast. I'm your host, Katish Haberfield. As a spiritual regression therapist, spirit releasement therapist, and medium, I help my clients to break free of karmic behaviors and limiting beliefs impacting their lives. This free podcast takes you behind the scenes in sessions with my clients as they experience regression sessions and celestial healings, as they access the wisdom of their sub and superconscious mind and witness the unfolding story of their soul. I hope this podcast provides you with inspiration and insights that can be applied to your life. Come back to the Infinite Life Podcast. This week we are speaking with Megan Jones again with a different afterlife interview. Now, I just wanted to remind you that each time that I had a session with Megan, we didn't know who was coming through. Initially, I started out and I just wanted to speak to Harry. As you remember, Harry, the little ghost boy, he specifically wanted to speak with Megan, not with me, to do his afterlife interview. And then after that, I said to Megan, hey, wouldn't it be fun to see who else we can get to come through? And I said, I'm going to, you know, write down a little list of the names of the people that I would be interested in hearing from if they'd like to come through, but really, let's just keep it open, because by that stage, Harry was a guide for me and he was bringing through children every day. And some days I was crossing over, you know, innumerable numbers of earthbound spirits. And that was before I even started actively going to cemeteries and also in my local community. So there could be casts of thousands, literally, that could come through to Megan. So today, I just want you to listen to this interview with a little boy named James Kirk Muir. Now, this was a lead for me in terms of I received a Facebook message from a friend, and the message said this: sorry to jump straight into things, but I had a look at your beautiful website and about little Harry who you helped cross over. We went to the Wintergate farm trail this morning, and as my daughters both sense the dead, we stopped off at the Harrisville Cemetery as we wanted to look around the tombstones. And one of my daughters was drawn to what looks like a fairly new grave, absolutely covered in colourful pinwheels and flowers and toys and whatnot. You can't miss it. And she sat down next to the grave and she just sat and sat. And me and my other daughter walked around everywhere and read all the tombstones, and she was still sitting there. Anyways, it turns out there was a little girl there with her, and she came over to me with tears in her eyes. She didn't say anything about her or give me any details, just that she was with her and could feel her. So if you're looking to help another child cross over, there's one little one there, I believe. And that was the message. I've never had a message like that before, but I was really a mixture of surprised and honored that she'd not only told me about the skills of her daughters, but trusted me enough to tell me the location of the soul who needed crossing over. I responded immediately to her via messenger. I confirmed the cemetery location, and in my mind, I was going to go there very next day, but life got in the way, and it was 11 days before I had the chance to make my way out to the cemetery, which was an hour's drive away. And I really actually did feel guilty with that, but I had to remind myself that there is no time for those who have died, so they're in a fog. So I needed to do what was best for me and that child would wait for me. Now, this particular cemetery was rural, so it wasn't like there'd be other people visiting and placing flowers on the gravestone, so it would be easy to find this one that she was talking about. As I pulled off the highway and onto the gravel side road, I noticed that there was nowhere to park and there were some surveyors parked there. I felt a bit odd, but took a deep breath and pulled over as far to the side as I could and made my way through the overgrown long grass on the perimeter of the cemetery to the neatly maintained cemetery. The freshly dug and decorated grave was easy to find. It was totally covered in artificial flowers and brightly coloured pinwheels. As I walked around the grave, the pinwheels, which had been still, started spinning vigorously. At first it was just one spinning, and then I noticed the first pinwheel spinning, and I began to ask the earthbound spirit for a sign, as I could sense them but could not see them. And then, one by one, all of the pinwheels began spinning. And sure, you could say it was a coincidence, but I don't believe in coincidences. So I took some videos, which I'm going to post on my socials, to capture the pinwheels so that I could message my friend to make sure it was the right grave. And I had a sense if I videoed the grave, it would be easier to pick up on the energy on the replay. And it was. With the new iPhones, you can pick up spirit very easy. It's a wisp of visible air. And it's a bit cloud-like. So I began a conversation, which was one-sided because it was just in my mind. I didn't have the app then, and started my usual explanation of the fact that it was time to go, time to cross over. But my own doubts were louder than mine knowing that the spirit was at this grave, because I had been told it was a little girl, and this was a grave for a man, so it didn't add up. So in my mind, it was the right location, right grave, but wrong person. Unless, as I figured, after walking around the cemetery, the child that I was looking for was drawn to pinwheels. So I went grave by grave searching for the child. And in my mind, as soon as I located the correct grave, then I would know who I was talking to. And the child would be acknowledged, and then I would be certain that I could actually cross them over or had crossed them over. And eventually I found the right grave. The grave had the right energy. And it was actually a memorial stone more than a grave, and it was for a little boy named James. And this confused me, as the girls had said it was a little girl. But in my mind, I had an image flash behind my eyes, which showed me an image of a small, cherubby-looking child who was a boy, but had longish blonde hair. So in my mind, it was like, imagine a little boy who's an infant whose mother is loath to give him his first haircut. That was what flashed in my mind. And then I sat for a while on a picnic bench there, all the time talking out loud to James, until finally I decided that yes, the energy had gone and crossed over. Unlike the time with Harry, there was no magical angel cloud, so there was a bit of part of me that was a little disappointed for the obvious sign, but I had my pendulum there with me, and that indicated that yes, the child was now crossed over, and I sent a message to my friend telling her that the child was now with God. And then I travelled to visit some other cemeteries on the way home. But today's episode is about the little boy James coming through via Megan to tell me his story. And I hope that you find it interesting. I'm really grateful that James did take the time to try and connect via Megan.
Just tuned in a little bit, and I do feel like we have a child today.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if it's a child that's on the list or not, but I will tune in and give you everything that they have, and we'll see if you can narrow down who it is. Because I know you've been crossing over a lot of.
I got two folders going now with people.
I actually feel like there are tons of children. Unlimited amounts of children.
Okay.
There is one boy in particular that is wanting to talk.
Okay.
There's a girl that's stepping forward with him, but she does seem to be standing back a little bit. So she may talk to us, but she's definitely wanting him to talk first if she's going to talk to us at all.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
So I'm feeling like this boy is around the age of 9.
Okay.
The name James is coming to me, but it could also just be a J or a J sounding name.
Okay.
He is taking me to a cemetery, but I'm also getting the feeling that he may have followed you.
Okay.
So you may have noticed that he was following you, maybe in the cemetery?
Is this my friend with windmills? Is windmills mean something to him?
Windmills?
Little plastic windmills that kids' toys that blow in the wind.
It feels like a yes, yeah. He's just making me feel like he was almost like he was watching you.
Okay, yep.
And that he started following you around to get your attention or until you noticed him is the way that he's making me feel.
Okay, yep.
But I'm not feeling like he did anything like drastic to get your attention. I'm not feeling like he attached to you or attacked you.
Yep.
He does keep showing me that windmill. Like you said, it's like a little plastic windmill now. He does keep showing me that. So I'm thinking that he's validating that information.
Yep. I'm just trying to find his name.
He does feel just really... He just feels really young and just really sweet. The age 9 came to me, but he does feel really young. I wouldn't be surprised if he was younger than that because he just feels really innocent and just really sweet. But that's the number that came to me.
Yeah, I'm thinking he's might be presenting as 9, but he might actually have died at the age 2. Is his name James Kirkmuir?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, James. We know all about you, sweetheart. Okay. Yes.
He's so excited. Yeah. He's so excited. Like, he just feels, he just feels so excited and so sweet.
He's a beautiful looking boy. I'm really keen to hear his story. So, Megan, you may or may not know this one. This is the little one that I went all the way out to the Harrisfield Cemetery for. And... so it was a good 45-minute trip out to that cemetery. And, sorry, I've got a running nose this morning. I wandered around the cemetery and I couldn't associate where his energy was with the grave because the grave was for the wrong person. And then I found him. So I did. I walked around and around getting very frustrated because I could feel his energy but I couldn't figure out who he was. And then when I found his memorial, I was like, yes, now we've got him. But yeah, it did take me a process and I did walk around and I did get into that car thinking, did I actually do anything?
Yeah, he's making me feel like he was just following you around too. So that makes sense the way you described it. You kept feeling his energy and you knew he was there, but you couldn't locate exactly where the grave was because he was moving around with you. That's kind of what he showed me, is like he was just walking around with you.
Yeah. And I ended to stop. And then I was like, if you're here, blow them. And then I'm like, oh,
okay, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, paranormal interference. We have interference. Yeah. Spirit interference.
That's what I'm feeling too, because yeah, I keep showing that I have connection, but I don't know. So he's showing me like rosy cheeks and like a cute little smile. He just seems so, I don't know, so happy and so sweet and so playful. When I'm asking about the cause of death, hearing a coughing.
Coughing? Yeah, I know what his cause of death is. It would have been very... it was awful.
Okay.
Can you ask him in, it was an accident. Can you ask him if, because it's always very interesting to understand the process of detaching the soul from the body in times of trauma. Can you ask him if he detached from his body at the time of the accident? Because it was both a fast and a slow death, in that he had an accident and then he didn't actually die for a full, I don't know what it was, 12 or 18 or 24 hours afterwards. And that would have been quite a painful death. But I feel like sometimes we detach at the point of trauma, or the angels help us remove ourselves so that we don't feel that trauma.
Yeah, I'm feeling like he doesn't have a lot of association with that, with the trauma and with the death. It does feel like he was detached. He's not normally, when I tap into any kind of death, they will send me a lot of different sensations and a lot of different feelings and imagery. And he's just, it doesn't feel that way. It feels like he's outside of it. Like, yeah, like he watched it from the outside for a little bit, but then was just not focusing on the pain and on that side of it.
Okay. Can you ask him what caused the accident? Because it was a horse. He was on a, it was Christmas Day, and he was on a horse and buggy with his parents. His father was a minister, and he fell off the horse and cart and broke his neck. So what caused, was this the horse boofed, or did they hit a pothole or something there? I don't know. It's a long time ago, so.
I'm feeling like he was asleep. And I am feeling like there was some kind of jolt in the carriage that caused him. If it seems like he fell into the floor and then just fell out.
Okay, yep. And
it also seems like the carriage didn't stop like immediately when that happened, that it kept going, and that it seems like his dad did something to stop it, but then at the same time his mom was jumping out to get him. That's the scene that's it's replaying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying too now. Does he remember much from his life? Like they lived out quite a rural area at that time.
He's just showing me a house. It looks like a smaller, but not too small of a house. It looks a little beat up. It seems like maybe his family did some kind of farming, maybe, or something with animals or something like that. Because I'm seeing looks to be like a barn, but also like equipment and things that you would use to tend the land. And he's just showing me like, it's like him, he's sitting on the porch playing. He's just showing me him being happy. He felt very loved. Feels like it was a very good family. It doesn't feel like there were any siblings. It doesn't, I could be wrong, but it doesn't feel like there were siblings. It could just be that his focus is on his parents, but there's definitely a lot of love in the family. There's definitely a lot of love with them.
Yeah, perfect. By the way, the 9 that you got is he died in 1909. So I think the first number you're getting is always the year. Because the soldier, the 18, was to do with the year of death as well.
Okay. Yeah. So Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. I think the first number you get in a session is they're trying to show you the year, and then they talk about their age afterwards. Okay. Yeah. So he's a gorgeous little boy. He had a very short life. And was the reason that his life ended early just as a spiritual lesson for his parents or for himself? What was the point of such a short life?
I am feeling like he knew that he knew when he decided to come into this life that it was not going to be long. He made that contract. I do feel like a lot of the purpose was for his parents. He was definitely a catalyst of growth and learning on their part. I'm also feeling like he just needed to experience unconditional love in this lifetime. Like he just needed to really just feel love and not all the harder lessons that come with that. And he got that from his parents. So I feel like it's a little bit of both is how he's making me feel. He was there for them to show them the harder lessons of life and of grief, and especially of losing a child, but also of that unconditional love aspect for them towards him and for himself, so that he could experience and feel that. I'm also feeling like that this helped his parents grow closer in their bond.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like it's possible that they had more children later. But I do feel like he was more of a god in this lifetime. He was more of the catalyst for things instead of having to feel the harder lessons of life.
Okay. And I'm just curious, does he remember the little girl who came out to the cemetery, who could see him but weren't aware of how to cross him over? Does he remember the little girls?
He remembers them.
And right at the very moment that we were getting to the interesting part, but that I wanted to then pass on to my friend and her daughter, Zoom crashed. And it wouldn't be the first time or the last time that it would crash in this session with Megan. And so what I'm going to do is let you know right now that there is a very specific reason that the technology crashes. And it has nothing to do with Mercury retrograde or bandwidth or anything. It has to do with spirit release. So I'm just going to let it unfold naturally. And what comes next is the second part of the discussion we're trying to have with James. But there are some people who are really impatient and want to come through, and they will crash it again and again and again until finally I will have enough of it and you'll see what happens.
I feel like James is like, yeah, guys, come on. It's my turn. It's my turn.
You tell him, James.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just, right now, he's just showing me him playing on that property. It's like he's just running around, playing with his mom. Like, I see his mom, like, chasing him. And then I know we were talking about the children. So let me see what he's got to say about the kids. I know that before we cut off, he did say that he remembered them, and I did feel like it was,
oh, that's right,
there was one girl that was interested in playing with him, and then there was another girl that was a little scared at first, is how he was making me feel. Like, they, it's like they both knew, but one was more open to it and the other one wasn't at first. Okay. But he is making me feel like, he's making me feel like they both were more open to him later. But one was a little reserved at first, with good reason for a child in the kind of society we grow up in to be afraid of those kind of things.
Yes. Is there anything that he would like me to pass on as a message to those two little girls? Because I'm in contact with them, so words of encouragement or thanks or anything that he thinks would be beneficial and in their best and highest interests. And if it's not, then that's fine as well.
I'm hearing, he's like letting me hear like the girls giggle. I can like hear like he really enjoyed like their giggles.
Mother Mary, could you please come in and usher these children away so that we can hear James?
Okay. So that's better. So,
yeah, thank you, Mother Mary.
Yes. So he's like letting me hear their giggle, and he's telling me like, that was really, he's giving me a feeling, not a word. It's like it was really heartfelt and exciting for him to feel that and to hear that. And it just made him.
Okay, we need more. I need more. Instructing us on how we can best help those children. Thank you. Sorry, I'm just saying a little prayer, sending healing to all those children who are trying to get messages through. Okay, so we've got a giggle and a feeling, not a word.
Yeah, just he's just like making me feel like that was like heartfelt and exciting for him to just hear that laughter and that. Just that childlike energy.
Yep.
He is making me feel like he went a long time just feeling alone and not really getting to experience that innocence, that sweet. That sweet energy.
Okay.
It's like it's almost like he forgot what it was like.
Okay, children, we need you to step back, otherwise we're not going to be able to get through all these sessions, okay?
I keep asking them to step back too. I don't know if it's just them or if it's just all the energy.
I feel like there's one child that's trying to like push forward. So let's just quickly ask James, is there anything else, sweetheart, that you would like to convey to us today?
He just said something about picking flowers. And I think that's related to the girls. I don't know if they picked flowers at that cemetery or if they brought flowers or something, but I just saw, like, picked flowers.
Okay. All right. Thank you, James.
And this is where Zoom crashed again. So yet again, James was interrupted.
It feels like one girl wanted to
Okay, Megan?
Yeah, okay.
We're not going to be able to proceed until we remove this attached spirit.
For me?
Yeah.
There's then a spirit attached to me.
Our life is a demonstration. So are you okay with me helping you? Sure. Okay, so you just need to get really relaxed, Megan. Now, usually with my clients, I have to take them deep into relaxation, but you, because of your mediumship skills, you may not need to. So we'll just get you having a deep breath in. So inhaling, holding it till it feels a little bit tight, and then exhaling and releasing with a sigh. Beautiful. And then a deep breath in again, holding it at the top, and exhaling with a sigh. And one more deep breath in, holding at the top and then exhaling with a sigh. Okay, so I want you to be just listen to my voice, and with each breath in, take a deeper and deeper breath, because you can tell your body to breathe, to calm, and to relax. As the body relaxes, the mind relaxes, and your breathing and relaxing continues automatically all by itself. I want you to notice a contrast of a new sensation of relaxing, loose, limp, and relaxed, floating, drifting deeper down, releasing more with every breath. And all you have to do is simply follow the sound of my voice and follow the numbers down as I count backwards from 5 down to 0, beginning with 5, feeling the weight of your head. And with your eyes closed, turning your eyes upwards as if looking up towards your forehead, then letting a warm, heavy, pleasant energy flow down, aware of the air on your skin, and the 3, feeling within, down deeper into the heart, beating, sending warm, loving energy through your body, aware of your pulse, flowing down to your legs, down to the soles of your feet, feeling heavier and heavier, letting that heavy, sleepy, daydreamy feeling take over. And I wonder if it reminds you of one time watching a late night movie, trying to stay awake, but feeling and falling half asleep, with your eyelids so heavy, trying not to close, yet closing, and feeling a relief as you inevitably allow yourself to relax completely. You could still hear the movie, and you could tune into your own movie, and how good that felt to finally hear your inner voice say, it's okay to relax, slowing down deeper with every breath, heartbeat, and now with 0. And I want you to imagine, visualize, or feel a staircase with 10 steps that is going to take you down into a safe, comfortable, right, white room. Notice the color and texture of your staircase. So start going down the staircase, deeper down with every breath, with 10, 9, 8, 7, slow down, deepen, 6, your subconscious, 5, doesn't mind, 4, getting to the bottom, 3, ready to step into your white room, 1, now be there. So at the bottom of the stairs, now reach out to open the door and find a white room with a comfortable chair. Make it how you like as you go inside and okay. Whether it's warm sand you can sink into or warm water you can float on, notice the feeling on your skin and the feeling within. Breathing in calm, clear relaxation with every breath. Because you have been able to give permission in your mind to relax your muscles, you can relax like this now. Notice the sky above with clouds floating in the awareness. Because the fact that you are here relaxing means your subconscious mind is willing to work with you now to achieve your goals in new ways. What I want you to do is to put your hand out, Megan, and you will begin to feel the presence of one of your guides or archangels. In particular, I would like to call in my archangel team and your archangel team. Megan, who has come to your beautiful place in nature to help you today? If they could step closer towards you and identify themselves.
Michael, Raphael, and Azrael.
Perfect. Thanks, guys, for coming. Could you please assist us in bringing forth this spirit who is manipulating the technology today and who needs their story heard. And could you scan Megan's body and help her identify the current location? Whereabouts are they located? You feel anything, Megan?
It feels like something in my throat.
Okay. And if you could give it a color or a shape, what would it be?
It looks like a square.
A square?
Mm-hmm. More like a square on its side, like a diamond.
Okay. And if you could say something, what would it say?
Leave me alone.
Okay.
And now I'm feeling really sad.
You're feeling really sad?
Yeah.
Okay, so could you please step forward now? My name is Katish and you are with Megan. Could you please let us know your name? We are here to help you today. Friends, we wish you no harm. We know that you have had a terrible experience and are possibly feeling very lost right now.
Mary.
Oh, Mary. Mary, have you been trying to talk to Megan the last few days?
Yes and no.
Yes and no. Okay. Because Megan has been talking about a Mary with me that it has been trying to come through. Mary, what is the year for you, darling?
1873.
Okay. And, sweetheart, what's your last memory?
It seems like it's like a bright light, like she's being hit by something.
Is this the bright light of the transition to heaven, or is this like the bright light of, say, a train, like being one of the very earliest trains of some sort, or like a steam train, or what was the bright light?
The death.
And what were you doing before you saw this bright light?
Sewing.
Sewing in your house, like sewing clothes. So this was completely unexpected. You were just sitting there doing some sewing one night and then the next thing you know, you died. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And sweetheart, so how old were you? Are you?
37.
Married, darling? Widow? Did you have a family?
I have a little girl.
Okay. What's her name?
Mary Margaret.
Mary Margaret. Okay.
I didn't want to leave her.
Yeah, I can understand that. It'd be very hard to leave your little girl, darling. Well, the thing is, Mary, that for reasons unbeknown to us, you did die.
And then Zoom crashed again. Which is really unhelpful in the middle of spirit releasement. But it did show us the level of fear that Mary had about being crossed over. So let's resume the session again.
Okay, Megan, did you feel a shift?
Yeah. Yeah. She's still...
I don't know if you can hear me. Can you see me? There was...
The connection is just...
You're so... frozen. She was afraid of heaven. Afraid of heaven. She's afraid of the concept of hell. That's why she keeps shutting down. Oh, there you are.
Yeah, she's still messing with the internet pretty bad. It completely went out a second ago.
Yeah, it's not her now. She's gone. Okay. She's crossed over.
Okay. She's crossed over. I did feel a shift.
Yeah, it's just that there's others. Somewhere you picked up. Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
I've been told Michael's come in very, very strongly because I just said you needed your technology back and that she needed to go because she cut out at the exact moment that I said heaven. So she was afraid of going. She did nothing wrong. She had no reason to. It was just religious stuff. So she may come back and explain herself, but so she was afraid to leave her child, and then
I did feel that. Yeah, I did feel that.
And yeah, and so I was, while the technology was out, I was talking out loud to the angels and to her. So I did explain to her there's no such thing as hell, it's only heaven. I gave her a golden blanket shawl, which is what Tina talks about, golden, which warms them, and as soon as they put that blanket on, the archangels just came in and took her. Yeah. So I'm not sure. I feel like she saw a vision of a daughter at the same time. And sometimes they work their stuff and they can do stuff faster than me. So I feel like she got the shout, the golden blanket, saw her daughter, whoosh, up, gone. But there are others who are going to keep mucking with the technology. So do you want to try and do it consciously while you're awake and just use your mediumship so you don't have to keep going into that hypnosis state?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I've got that. I just asked if James can assist, but he's not allowed to assist. So it's just the archangels that will assist in this one. So we do have, we're told we have three. So that was Mary plus two others. So I'm wondering, I'll just address the, using your conscious mind, address the other two spirits that are with Megan and are embodied with Megan at the moment. Megan, you spoke the other day about, did you say it was a Norma?
A what?
The other spirit that was trying to contact you.
Yeah.
Norma. Yeah. Okay, so.
Norma.
So we just want to check, can you feel into the knowing? Is Norma located in your body somewhere? Is she located in your heart?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, because I've actually been feeling something in the heart space since she got on, and I thought it might have been me, but yeah. Okay, so Norma.
As soon as you said that, I felt it.
Yeah. Okay, so Norma, my name is Katish, and you are with Megan. We are here today to have a chat to you, darling. We know that you've been trying to speak with Megan. We know that you're probably feeling lost and afraid.
and we're here to help you. So, sweetheart, what year is it for you?
1990.
Okay, and how old are you, darling?
67.
Okay. And how did you find Megan? Where did you come across her?
Hospital.
Recently?
As a child.
As a child, okay. Okay, you've been with Megan for a while then. Okay. Now, why did you feel like you could hang out with Megan? What attracted you to her?
She reminds me of my grandchildren.
Okay, lovely. Well, that's a good thing, yeah? That she reminds you of your grandchildren? And what's the last thing that you remember before you were with Megan?
I was in the hospital and I was saying goodbye to my family. And then the next thing I know, I'm not in my body anymore.
Okay.
But I didn't want to leave. I wasn't ready to go. I want to spend time with my children and my grandchildren.
But you didn't follow the light. Why didn't you follow the light, darling?
Because I want to see my grandchildren grow up.
Okay. All right, even though you were saying goodbye to your family. Oh, they were just visiting you. You weren't saying goodbye as in I'm dying, goodbye. They were just visiting, so you were saying goodbye as in see you tomorrow kind of thing.
Yes. They were telling me goodbye because I was dying. But I didn't want to die.
Thank you. Sorry?
I didn't want to leave them.
Okay. All right. So, Norma, do you understand that when you decide not to go to the light and when you decide not to leave your family, there's something that happens to your family that you're unaware of at the time? So when we die, our families need to go through the process of grieving, which is difficult for everybody. Yeah, it's a lot of emotions and our lives stop for a while until we learn to live without the person that we loved. But if the person who we love stays around and doesn't cross to the heavenly side, what happens is that your loved family members, they can't finish their grieving process. So they are eternally stuck in a state of grief, which kind of is a fog over their mind, and it's a bit like having way too much sherry every single day of their life. So for the love of your children and your grandchildren, the most helpful thing that you can do, even though you may have been trying to guide and support them, is for you to detach from Megan and go with the angels that we have provided for you today up to the heavenly realms so that you can receive healing. You can receive a life review to understand why this happened to you, why you became ill, and you can free your family members of the grief that is inside their heart. Can you understand how that's in the best and highest interests of your family and your grandchildren? It's a very compassionate, it's a very compassionate thing to do, okay? I know and understand that you may be scared, but we have the most beautiful angels you've ever seen at our service, in spiritual service, and all you need to do is to reach out and take their hands. And they will help you feel lighter and brighter, and you'll begin to drift and float up high. One of the beautiful things about this, Norma, is that you will, as you get higher and higher and lighter and feel brighter and brighter, you'll begin to be able to see there's somebody very special waiting for you to come with them. Waiting to have a cup of tea, apparently, actually. They're quite funny. They've been waiting for quite a while now. Like, Norma, the tea's cold, but I'm ready to brew a new pot. So I want you to just go higher and higher. And when you see this person that's waiting for you, you can, if you wish, let us know who it is, or you can simply go with them. And then we say to you,
she sees her husband.
Her husband, beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. Take your husband's hand. Godspeed. God bless. We love you. Goodbye.
Yeah. She went.
She went? Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah. I feel like she did. I felt lighter.
Yeah. Okay. It's not completely gone, though. There's one more. And I think it's also in the heart space, Megan. So I haven't shifted that yet. There's still one more. Was there any other name that has been coming to you recently?
No, but is it possible for a spirit to attach to multiple people?
Not that I know of.
Because the only thing that I can think of that's happened to me that's been pressing on me is I have a friend that I know has a spirit attachment. I told her she has a spirit attachment. She knows she has a spirit attachment, but she doesn't want to get rid of him. And when I told her that she has an attachment and that it wasn't a god, the spirit did not like that and squeezed my throat. And I thought about the spirit the whole night and dreamed about the spirit the whole night. But I know that the spirit's still with her. Not. So I wasn't sure if it could split or give some kind of impression to me too.
Not that I'm aware of. Let me just check. The best person to ask in all of these situations is Michael, Archangel Michael. He usually pays me out when I'm not just stating out the obvious. Be kind, Michael. This third found spirit, ET, DFE.
I can't tell.
Yeah, okay. I'm getting, go work this one out on your own, kids.
You're getting what?
So, I'm getting, you got to work this one out on your own, kids.
Okay. Great.
All right. What I want to do is I just want you to focus in on your body again, do a body scan. Maybe I'm just getting the residual from the last one. So I just want you to scan your body. And what I want you to do is scan from your feet upwards to see if there is any more residual energy in your body that is not your own. Let that scan be like an x-ray, a bright light that can see everything. Let the light have a warmth and a loving kindness and a compassion. Focus inward, Megan. Notice any images, faces or forms, any sounds or voices, any sensations or emotions. Scan your body from your feet upwards to your calves, up to your knees, to your quads and thighs, your hips and your torso. Scan your midsection and chest. Scan your arms and shoulders up to your head. Notice any images, faces or forms, any sounds or voices, any sensations or emotions. Describe whatever you feel and hear.
I'm feeling like something in like my mid back, like behind my heart.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that makes sense to me too, behind heart. Because the feeling for me is, you'll see in the recording when you play it back, I'm pushing right in behind my sternum, behind heart. Yep, okay. Would it have a shape, a colour, a size or a texture?
This is a baby.
It's a baby?
Okay, baby, we'd like to bring you forward now, please, sweetheart. Are you a baby boy or a baby girl?
Baby girl.
Girl. Okay, sweetheart. And what's your name? Did you get given a name? Or
Emily.
Have you given yourself? Emily?
Mm-hmm.
Emily, what year were you born, sweetheart? Or when were you born? What year?
2007.
And sweetheart, how did you find Megan?
Cemetery.
Okay. And Megan, are you aware of that? You aware of which cemetery?
Yes. Yes. I'm pretty sure. It seems like it's this one that we passed when we went to this Native American land.
Okay.
This was a couple months ago.
Yes, I remember the video. Yep, that one. The one that you sent me the video of. Okay. So, Emily, were you born full term?
Yes.
Okay. And did you die in the hospital or shortly after birth?
Yes.
And I'm thinking that you didn't expect this to be the outcome.
No.
So your soul contract was for something different?
She doesn't remember.
Doesn't remember. Okay, sweetheart. Okay. You got a shock when you were born and then you died because it was a really quick journey. Why didn't you go to the light? What happened?
She wanted her mom.
Wanted her mom? Okay. It's very difficult, sweetheart. I know that. What I'd like to ask you, sweetheart, is, well, not ask you, what I want to let you know is the same that I told the other lady. We can receive quite a shock when we die and we feel injustice, that it's not fair that you didn't get time with your mum. You can feel the love of your mum. You can feel the grief that your mother has when she carries you full term and then she doesn't get to spend time with you. So we understand that and we have great compassion for you and we are sorry that this was your experience in this lifetime. However, darling, your mama can't heal and she's still grieving for you because you have not crossed over with the angels to go with the other babies into the baby section of heaven. And so your mama needs you to go to heaven so that she can heal and she can feel better. Okay, there's nothing to be frightened about. And you can, if your mama is still alive, you can look down from heaven and be like a baby guide to her. You can help her out from heaven, but you're not helping her out by staying on earth. Do you understand what I'm saying, sweetheart?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send you down a beautiful angel, and she's going to lift you into her arms and she's going to carry you up to heaven, okay? And when you get to heaven, you'll see another family member or somebody who's important to you, either from this life or another lifetime or a spirit guide. So all we need to do now, darling, is give you a beautiful blanket, golden shawl to keep you warm. And you'll begin to feel lighter and brighter, and the angels will carry you off. So we wish you great love. We send great love. Godspeed. Take care. And we will speak to you from the other side. Is she gone now, Megan?
Yeah.
Okay.
her mom gave her up for adoption.
Oh, okay.
And it was part of her contract, but she was refusing it.
Okay.
And she felt abandoned.
Okay.
And she just attached to me because I was a mom. And she just wanted to feel
loved. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let me just check in and see if there are any other interferences for the session. No, we're good. Okay. In the interest of getting back to our session, Megan, firstly, I'm going to check. Are you feeling okay to continue?
Yeah, yeah. I feel okay.
Secondly, I'm going to send you a series of audio sessions, which you can put your earbuds in and listen to. I think there's 5 that I recorded. The most important one for you would be to listen to the healing. Because this was not a traditional 2-hour spirit releasement therapy session, the thing that I would have done next would be to take you through a healing session, okay? But I have recorded my voice, and you can go into hypnosis yourself and listen to this recording session. In that session, they will cleanse your body. The angels will cleanse your body, heal any residues from the attachments today. And it's recommended that you do that once a day for the next week. Included in the audio sessions is a number of other audios where you can connect with your spirit guides, check for attachments. And then the other three recordings are to check for a spirit attachment, an ET attachment, and a DFE attachment, which you'll understand later. But for the purposes of, I know that we were mid doing something, I will send that to you via email. That's what all my clients get. And then you can listen to that, because the whole purpose of this obviously is not for me to be the guru, but for me to empower you to do it yourself.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. And we're still having interference.
Then Zoom crashed again. To leave it for this episode, because there are quite a few more spirits of children that wanted to come through and were interfering with us being able to check whether we'd actually heard everything that little James Kirk Muir wanted to say. So, come back next week, same time, same bat channel, and we will tell you about the rest of our session and who else we uncovered that were there pushing in, trying to get their way in to give a message and interrupting James Kirk Muir's session. Thank you once again for joining us, and I hope we gave you something to think about today. I hope we challenged some thoughts that you might have had, and we hope that you may have more compassion for earthbound spirits as a result. Namaste.